The Oldie Podcast presents Nicholas Crane on Making of the British Landscape. The Oldie Literary Lunch is brought to you by Noble Caledonia, the world leaders in small ship cruising.
Our first author's saga wends its way from the Ice Age to the present day. As the glaciers retreated, evolution continued to a final resolution. No! We still evolve, progressing to an age of global warming, pressing on. He then tells us, enough, I'm over-evolving yet again. So welcome our author, Nicholas Crane.
I'm going to share, as Barry intimated, a very short story indeed, if I may, about a very special place indeed, Britain. It begins about 12,000 years ago. You could imagine it beginning here with great herds of wild reindeer strolling up the strand on a permafrost, because back then, 12,000 years ago, the mean winter temperature was minus 17 degrees centigrade. There were glaciers in the Lake District and in Scotland. There was an ice cap 400 meters thick piled on top of Rannoch Moor. But in about 9,700 BC, that ice melted very quickly indeed. Temperatures shot up by perhaps as much as 7 degrees in as little as 10 years. It was an extreme episode of climate change, the likes of which haven't been seen since, at least not quite yet. So it was a very major change. All that ice melted very quickly. Within 1,000 years, the temperatures had bounced up to modern temperatures. Hunter foragers had walked across the land bridge from what is now northern Germany, because back then we were the northwest extremity of a continual landmass that reached the whole way east from Simpsons to Kamchatka in eastern Asia, and all the way south to Table Mountain at the tip of what is now South Africa. And this land bridge across the bottom end of what's now the North Sea was a gangplank between us and the continent. And that's how it remained, really quite some time. Britain was colonized first by trees, far more trees than people, probably about 20 billion trees, at most about 10,000 people. Hunter-gatherers migrating up and down this extended peninsula on the edge of this great continent of Europe. There were various very small-scale alterations to the landscape, but so small they're barely detectable. Far greater were the Earth system changes, and the biggest of those was an event, probably we can't date it exactly, in about 6,500 BC, when an area of land about the size of Scotland, actually it was subterranean, so it was submerged land, rubble, rocks and so on, slid off the continental shelf and fell into the void off the coast of what's now Norway. And it set off a tidal wave that came down the North Sea. It was probably this tidal wave that severed us from the continent. So it was a very hard Brexit indeed. We're not talking about, you know, a couple of leisurely years. This would have been two catastrophic minutes, and we were no longer part of the Eurozone. We've been islanders ever since. And funnily enough, we weren't very well adapted to be islanders on our own, cut off from Europe, because traces of human occupation died away, despite the fact that this island was effectively a gigantic verdant game park packed with the kinds of animals that would love to hunt and sorts of wild foods would love to forage for. So for well over 1,000 years, there are very few people on this new island off the edge of Europe. In about 4,000 BC, we had an invasion, a kind of reverse D-Day, from what is now France. And people came across the water in very large boats loaded with domesticated animals. They'd been called farmers, the Neolithic, but actually they were, as much as anything, they were miners, because the first great alteration to our landscape can be seen on the South Downs. Flint mines on Harrow Hill, about 400 flint mines along the South Downs that these early so-called farmers dug to extract flint from deep underground. We don't know why they dug for the flint, because you could pick it up, as any of you who've walked around on the South and North Downs know, you could pick up flint from the surface, but they believed it was better to dig for it. Either it had some kind of extra value, spiritual value, or perhaps because it hasn't been subjected to the freeze-thaw of glaciation, it was a better tool and weapon, raw material, didn't fracture as quickly. And that was really the beginning of the end in terms of our landscape, because farming has, as you might have noticed, been very, very successful in Britain. If you skip forward 3,000 or 4,000 years, the next big intervention to our landscape was the beginning of towns. Just down the road from here, there's a outside Reading, there's a place now known by archaeologists as an oppidum. it was effectively a proto-town just outside Reading, and we'd all come down from our hill forts and were starting to live together in the beginnings of what are now towns and cities. We gathered, we had our own mints, we were striking coins, we were trading with the Eurozone. So we effectively kind of stepped into civilization. We were no longer hunting and gathering, we were no longer engaged in tribal warfare, we were living in towns in the south of Britain, southeast. Unfortunately, in that very moment, we get invaded by an army of psychopathic builders who completely wreck the place. The reason that we're in this building here is partly due to these psychopathic builders, because the road out here is Aikman Street. It runs the whole way from what was Roman Londinium to Silchester, the town the Romans built on the site of our own indigenous oppidum, our very first town. So we lost our tradition very quickly. It was 900 years they set us back. It wasn't until King Alfred came along and reinvented towns and we came to where we are today. And the Strand got converted, as you'll know this, because this used to be, the reason it's called a strand is that it comes from an old English word, strond. So this was the edge of the beach before Victoria Embankment was built, just down there. The beach was up here. And that slope that you walk down between the Strand and the embankment now was the landing stage, where all the ships came ashore, because the Anglo-Saxons didn't want to use the old Roman town, despite the fact that Roman Londinium was a mass of hypocausts and stone buildings and colonnades, the Forum. It's all still there in ruins, but they didn't want to use it. They built this new place, Londonwick, right where we are here. So this was the beginning of New London. So really, this is the where we are today. Is the beginning of modern London, not over in that walled part of what's now the financial district. So the reason I wrote this book, I just want to finish with this thought, is that I feel very strongly that we need a new story for Britain. Conventional historical narratives tend to be partial. They tend to look at people, they tend to look at events, you know, the battles, the archbishops, the monarchs, the dynasties and all that kind of thing. I'm a geographer. Geography looks at processes. It looks at people, places, environments, and the connections between those three. So for me, the most helpful narrative today is one that begins when the ice melted 12,000 years ago and takes us through until today when we're looking into the future, and a very different future, both in terms of climate and in terms of our human occupation of this island. So this is a vote for a new geographical narrative for Britain. Let's cast aside those old polarizing histories just for a short while and think about the bigger story, the 12,000 years that we've been on this island from the moment there's nobody here until there's 64 million of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
The Oldie magazine is available at all good newsagents, but you can also subscribe and book tickets to the literary lunches at theoldie.co.uk.